You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Some people may feel a sense of sadness that the nights are getting longer, it gets dark earlier. Others see this as an opportunity to spend more time looking at the stars.
One of the best places to stargaze is in Jasper National Park in Western Alberta, Canada, an official dark sky preserve. Every year they hold the Jasper Dark Sky Festival, which starts tonight. Here to give us a preview of what's happening this year is Brian Attree. He's the Director of Business Development for Tourism Jasper. Brian, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
So it sounds like in 2011, the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada officially made Jasper National Park a dark sky preserve. What does that mean exactly?
They've given us the responsibility to protect and promote the nocturnal environment and the clarity of our dark skies. We are trying to support and encourage public understanding of how important this natural wonder is and how people need to look up at the stars and say, wow, this is amazing. It's clear. There's not man-made light or any haze from pollution. So it's quite a nice designation. And we are actually the second largest in the world, but we like to claim we're the largest in the world because you can actually get to us.
Now, we hear about a lot of different types of environmental protection, but how does this work? What kind of specific things do you do there to protect the night sky?
Well, because we are in a federal national park, development is extremely limited. And so at that given point, by being in a national park, there isn't any factories, there isn't any pulp mills, we don't have refineries, commercial buildings are limited, and even housing is limited. So whenever you want to develop in a national park, you have to go through permitting. And again, if you have to build, you have to cut down a tree. And if you're in a national park, you don't cut down a tree.
Now, unfortunately, Rob and I are not going to be able to make the journey to Alberta this year to take part in the festival. So if we were there, what would it feel like to stand there at night and look up at the sky?
Oh, I date myself sometimes and say it's just like when you were a kid, so I'm not going to do that. But if you think back to the 80s, and again, I think I just dated myself, when you could go outside and look up when you were in town and just see the Milky Way. And for people that can understand, what was it like to look at the Milky Way when you were in town? And now if you go to any town or city, you don't get to see the Milky Way. And for here, I can drive 4 minutes from my house, step out of the car and look up. And if it's a clear night, I see the entire Milky Way.
I'm a little bit jealous, I got to say. Now, this is the fourth year of this Jasper Dark Sky Festival. What kind of new ways do you have to appreciate the darkness this year?
Well, what we've done this year, we've extended the festival to 10 days, and in the past it used to be one weekend. And so what we've done is we've anchored it on two different weekends, and by bringing some businesses on board to promote the dark skies and promote being outside in October, because it can get a little chilly, and, you know, we're up here with the metric system, but I'll translate that. This morning when I was going to work, it was 25, and that's not 25 Celsius, yeah, 25 Fahrenheit. And moving into the day today, we're looking at about 40, but it's clear skies, blue skies. And this weekend, we've had Brewster, one of the big tour operators in Alberta, put on the Dark Sky Glaciers and Stargazing Tour. And what they've done is that they are taking people out at night now to the Athabasca Glacier. And you're going to do a glacier adventure out onto it with the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada. And there will be telescopes set up, and people are able to be on the glacier looking up at the clear skies. And then they'll come back and they'll go for dinner. And then they'll go to the brand new Brewster Glacier Skywalk and have another session of astronomers there with you. And then moving to tomorrow night, the Fairmont Jasper Park Lodge, they have brought on the Edmonton Symphony Orchestra into town, and they'll be having the symphony outside under the stars.
Wow.
So
Dress
warm, but nothing like listening to classical music in crisp, clear skies. You don't even need a light.
Well, you must need some kind of lighting, right, for safety to see where you're going and footing. How do you light just the path for people's feet?
Red lighting is what keeps your eyes adjusted to the dark. So we use LED tube lighting. You can even use just little LED lights in a mason jar with some red cellophane over top of it. A flashlight, put some red over top of that as well. You can get around, but anything with white light, absolutely bad for your eyes, and then you lose your night vision.
Now, I've been foiled a couple times hoping to see stars by Lake Superior and then realizing I'm up there with a full moon. And the moon's lovely, but it means you can't see those stars. You're blinded by the moon. Do you schedule this to include some moonless nights?
We've scheduled it around a little bit from that. And one part of the aspect of the moon and eclipses and whatnot, we're actually very lucky to have the festival fall this year. On the 23rd, we're going to have a partial solar eclipse in the middle of the afternoon. Coming up for this dark sky festival, we will be lucky that we won't have a full moon blinding you out. But that's another aspect, actually, of being in a dark sky preserve. I've been outside with a full moon. It's beautiful, and you can see all the stars still.
Next Friday you have an event. It's called Beyond the Stars. What's that?
Beyond the Stars is a no-charge fee. It's adding on to the festival. It's been one of our signature programs, and we will have activities set up out at Lake Annette, and that's deeper into the forest, so to speak, around Lake Annette. And in the field at Lake Annette, we'll have that low-level red lighting and the LED plastic tube lighting. And we will have First Nations and Aboriginal content telling stories of their heritage amongst the stars. We'll have Parks Canada interpreters running heritage programs. We'll have Parks Canada and guest photographers night photography lessons. We'll also have TELUS World of Science Edmonton running some science demonstrations. And some of our guest speakers will be doing some armchair pop culture topics in the stars. One of them will be doing Hollywood Across the Stars. So you're moving around from station to station at a very large field, and then you'll have the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada from Edmonton. There will be about 30 of them with their deep star telescopes set up, and you can drop in and look up.
And you'll have one of the most famous scientific Canadians there, I understand, who has covered David Bowie in orbit, Colonel Chris Hatfield. What's he going to be doing at the event?
Absolutely. So on October 25th, we have our evening of space and music, and Colonel Chris Hatfield will be giving his keynote presentation. But we've also brought Jay Ingram, who is the former host of the Daily Planet on the Discovery Channel, opening the show. And Jay's brought along his scientific band with him, so he'll be moving his way through pop culture and stories of science. And then Chris Hatfield will string a tune with Jay and his band a few times. And Chris will be telling about his time up in space in command of the International Space Station, and if we have been good enough and we've impressed him enough, maybe he will even string the space oddity for us at the end.
Nice. Well, you described a bit for us what it's like to look up and see the entire Milky Way. I'm curious about how people react. I'm sure this draws huge numbers of people, and children among them. What do people say?
Wow. that is pretty much people. There are some people that get very emotional. They remember what it used to be like, and then they start to see the impact of man and the impact of oil and the impact of pollution, the impact of everything on the earth. And, you know, at the end of the day, people are driving here to get here, and we are going to do what we need to do. But by having these national parks in place, it just reminds people the importance of having national parks and these dark sky preserves so you can still come and see it, that it's not going to disappear.
And do you hear people who have been to this saying, we need to do something at home to make it a little darker and make our sky maybe not, you know, as star rich as it's going to be there, but, you know, appreciate the night sky a little more?
Yeah, I think the first step what people like to do is look at what kind of light bulbs they're using in their house and that impact from there. I think at the end of the day, everybody realized the way the society is going and culture, we're never going to be able to get rid of it, but it's your impact, your footprint on it that you can just lessen a little bit.
Do you think it is that important? It's more than just coming out to Jasper to see the night sky, that people should actively be working toward preserving darkness around the world?
I think so, absolutely, and this is the first step that people will realize it, because I'm not from Jasper. I've moved to Jasper in the last year, and I come from British Columbia, and I came from a place where I thought environment was huge, and it is, and lived in a city and then moved out to Jasper, and I even looked at it and went, wow, okay, there is impact going on, and what can we do to diminish it? And by just being able to come to a dark sky preserve or a national park and enjoy the night sky, it makes you reflect a little bit.
It is a dark sky preserve. Is it the dark sky preserve? Are there others?
Yes, there is. So I would encourage your viewers or yourself to go online and just Google dark sky preserves around the world, and there is a large number of them. Another one is Wood Buffalo in Alberta. That's the largest in the world, but kind of hard to get to. But with us, we're the second largest in the world, but they are giving the status to other national parks or provincial parks or state parks around the world. There is a big movement in the United States for dark sky preserves as well.
We could have, you know, people going out there now to enjoy all the things going on at this festival. But if someone just comes during an off time of year when there isn't the festival, is it just as majestic?
Yes, and where it does come into play, we say that we try to highlight it in October because the nights are longer, it gets darker a lot faster, and we're able to promote it and we're able to focus on it. But if you came here in the middle of July, you're just going to have to wait till about 1 o'clock in the morning for it to get dark.
And Brian, I've got to ask, what's your favorite part of the Dark Sky Preserve and the Dark Sky Festival?
I really like the Beyond the Stars at Lake Annette. It's a real festival-like atmosphere. It shows great partnership between Parks Canada, First Nations and Aboriginal groups, our group at Tourism Jasper, businesses in town, TELUS World of Science Edmonton. It's a wide scope of people getting together to put on programming and really enjoy yourself.
Brian, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Brian Attree. He's Director of Business Development for Tourism Jasper. He was with us to talk about the Jasper Dark Sky Festival, which starts tonight. Maybe this is a bucket list thing for me. I don't know. You?
Well, it's hard not to want to look at a dark sky on a glacier.
Yeah, right? What's wrong with that?
It sounds incredible. I have to admit it.
I always think, like, you know, thinking about how ancient Greek sailors would have looked up at the sky, or the Incas or Mayans would have looked up and seen all these stars. I want to get that view sometime. It sounds like a great time.
I'm Veronica Rickers.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.